We have exciting dinner coming up, and you know about it. And we want, we're going to celebrate just a wonderful life of Pastor Pag and Pastor Diane's, Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane's life and legacy. And we want you to sign up in the foyer area. And of course, you have the info here. And we are blessed. We're going to have a great time. We have some exciting upcoming events. Now, before I share have everybody meet and greet, if you're here for the first time, we have a wonderful blessing for you. Could you raise your hand if you're visiting for the first time? Lisa or Eva over here, can you just, yep, and keep your hand up. God bless you. Welcome to Destiny Filled Gospel. Right up here, there's more. Amen. In there is a card, and there's a Bible, there's some gifts, but there's a Connect card. And if we just get your email, your info, we don't bother you. We'll hit you up just when there's events so we can communicate with you all well. And we're so blessed that you are here this morning. And so we've had some other people fill out the Connect cards that want to get baptized and the dedication of children. We're going to, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a whole plan that what's happening for the fall, and we're going to have a baptism, have a dedication, and some exciting things. Let's stand and greet our guests and tell somebody you love them in Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Joanne, we need to talk.
Hey, Charlie. Bless you.
Hey, Mike. All right, how many here is ready for God's word? Come on, somebody. Amen. God's good. I want to read a portion of scripture that is so powerful. One powerful verse that I want you to get in your heart, in your soul. Andy, you can put up our text. And stand with me real quick. I want to read this scripture, and I want you to do something right afterwards. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And here it is. Can we read it together? Are you ready? For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I don't think you're getting that. Come on, let's read it again loud. Come on, I want you to receive this. For all the promises of God are yes and in Him to the glory of God through us. Amen? I want to pray. God, give us an understanding of the promises, that we'd walk in them, live in them. And as you see the scripture, what it says. So, Lord, for the next few minutes that we're together, I pray, Lord, for you to just touch, unveil your heart, your spirit, your love. And, Lord, help us to embrace these promises that you've given to us with faith, fortitude, perseverance, and your Holy Ghost anointing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Now here's the title of my message. It's smushed up there, but it says, these promises, what does it say? Are for you. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor these promises are for you. You may be seated. You know, I was really digging into this word of this scripture for a couple of days, and it just really has touched me so much. And when I put my message together, I wrestle a lot with the Lord. I really do, or myself. I don't know who I'm wrestling with, because I just want to be in the Spirit. I want to get a word for us, for me, for all of us. And as I was just reviewing and studying this, it just hit me, and I was going towards another message that I'll probably share next Sunday. And this really just touched me, and I said to myself, you know what? We really need to understand these promises. And as I was digging in to 2 Corinthians, it touched me so much, especially this portion of Scripture. Now, Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul makes a powerful proclamation of the promises of God to his children in our text. As we read, for all the promises, here, listen to it, for all the promises of God, it's just so powerful. And in him, are yes, in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. I'll bring that home to you in just a moment. Now, this is such a powerful, broad divine statement. Think about that. Such a powerful, broad divine statement. And we need to understand the why, the who, the how, even the what for Paul is referring to, or really God is referring to, because it's such a powerful scripture about the promises of God. And so what I really was doing last night or early this morning is I said to myself, let instead of just reading verse 20, because when you see a scripture, one scripture, to get somewhat of the understanding, you've got to read the why, the how, the what. You read the scripture before, read the scripture after. It gets even more powerful. It gets even more divine. It gets even more just strong. Listen to what it says in verse 18. Now, this is verse 20, our text. I'm going to read verse 18. Watch this. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. Watch this. Our word to you, this is Paul, watch what it says in verse 30. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it was yes. Are you getting that? In other words, what God is saying, what Paul is saying, this is not coming from me and Silvanus. This is coming from God Almighty, from the throne room of God, from the heavenlies. Come on, this is for us today. This is real. This is what Paul's saying. This isn't just a cliche. And then he says, and then he goes on to say, for all the promises of God are in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Verse 21, afterwards, it says, for all, listen, it says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also, watch this, has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Can I just be bold and say this to you? God's promises have a guarantee. Come on, that should make you shout. That was early this morning I wrote that. I said, man, that is so awesome. I love guarantees. Amen? I often tell somebody, we bought a vacuum here, there, and I said, buy it at Home Depot. Why? Because it's guaranteed. If it messed up, you can bring it back. Amen? How many of you love guarantees? Hallelujah. But think about this. What God is saying here, he says, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And so all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. And so it's just unbelievable how powerful and how real God's word is. God's word is so powerful. Think about it. How powerful. You know, the word of God says it's living and powerful. And really, there's a word that says dunamis, which means dynamite. Amen? And God's word is so life. How many here have been changed by the word of God? Come on, amen? By the word of God. God's word is so life-changing, and God's word reveals God's heart for all of us. It really does. And note this, and don't miss this. Don't miss, sometimes we don't believe this. Do you know the devil is afraid of you? The devil is afraid of you, amen? And he's afraid of you from the get-go. Someone say get-go. From the get-go. But check this out. You haven't. But when you start quoting this book, he's terrified of you. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. And see, we have an awesome power in the name of Jesus. We have awesome power in the blood of Jesus. We have awesome power in the word of Jesus. Read the book and it will take your dull, boring, pity pot, wild personality and transform it into a ball of divine fire. Come on, somebody, amen? The book says the Lord is my high tower. The Bible says God is my shield and my buckler. The Bible says this, the Lord is our fortress and deliverer. The Bible says He's our rock and our salvation. He's the one who was, and it is, and it's forevermore. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father. He's the bright and morning star. Come on, somebody. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. He's the Lord of glory. He's the light of the world, the Lamb of God, and the Lion of Judah. And guess what? He's all we need. Hallelujah. He's all we need. Amen. I love preaching about God's Word. You see, God's Word, we have confidence in God's Word. Now, let me just bring this home to you. How many here believe God's Word is perfect? It is. People say it's got contradictions and all that. There's all kinds of translations. I get it. You flow in the Holy Ghost. I want to let you know God's Word is perfect. God revealed the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947, which confirmed it didn't have to. The Word of God, every comma, every word is real. It's authentic. Hallelujah. How many here know it's the best-selling book from all time? It'll always be the best-selling book. Why? Because it is the real deal. Come on, somebody. It's better than Coca-Cola. It's the real thing. Hallelujah. It's still perfect. It's without flaw. God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's revealed by God and demonstrated through the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about this. This holy, perfect book, God's love letter from heaven to you and I, has 31,073 scriptures, was written by 40 people in 1,500 years in three different languages on three different countries. And it gets better. Check this out. According to research, there are over 7,000 promises in God's Word. Think about that. The promises of God, guess what, are our inheritance. And when Jesus died on the cross, His last will and testament became our will and testament. In other words, His last will and testament is our inheritance. So we inherited 7,000 promises when Jesus said, "It is finished." Come on, somebody, it's time to proclaim our promises. So let's do this. Let's get a calculator out. Let's think about this. Let's take 7,000 promises. Let's divide it in 365 days in 1 year. And guess what? We can proclaim 20 promises a day every day of the year. And come on, church. God wants us to do that. Guess what? These promises are for you. Hallelujah. So let me just share a couple of thoughts and a couple of promises that I think I put down in your bulletin this morning, because I just wanted you to have them and hold on to them. Now, I you could pick so many promises that relate to you. I chose seven of these that I believe will cover almost everything that we live about, everything that we do, everything we see. And so let me just share the first promise of God that I want us to understand, which is really the cornerstone. It's the genesis of the reality, and here it is, and you probably see it in your notes. Number one promise of God. God promises to forgive your sins and give you eternal righteous life. Come on, somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." Can I say it again? God promises to forgive your sins, to give you eternal life and a righteous life. Can I just share with you four things God doesn't know? You know, there's a couple things God doesn't know. And you're like looking at me like, wait a minute, He's omniscient, knows everything. He doesn't know any sinner that He does not love. He doesn't know any sin that He cannot forgive. He doesn't know any other way to be saved other than through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. And He doesn't know of any better time to be saved other than right now. Come on, somebody say amen to that. So think about this promise. And as I was really focusing on, I did a little more study this morning. But it's so powerful, because I used really the names of God to define every promise. I chose this as Jehovah Tiskanu. So what is Jehovah Tiskanu? It's the Lord my righteous. That's who Jehovah is. It's the Lord my righteous. And don't forget, he promises to forgive you. He promises to give you eternal life. And he promises to give you a righteous life. 1 John 1:9, one of the most common, powerful scriptures that I share in crusades or in the streets or Salvation 101. And what does it say in 1 John 1:9? It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can someone say unrighteousness? And why is that? So the righteousness, are you with me? The righteousness of God, Jehovah Tiskatek, the Lord our righteous, the righteousness of God could come in us. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says this, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. So he forgives us and he forgives every sins. Why? To give us eternal righteousness in life. Now, let me share this with you, because I don't want you to miss this. When I first got saved, when I first gave my life to the Lord, it was 1984. And I began to get into the Word of God. It wasn't really until 85 that I began to understand doctrines and so forth. And what was happening in America, especially with Brother Dave Wilkerson starting Times Square Church. There was, and there still is, but there was such a heavy prosperity movement. And folks, I believe in prosperity. I believe God wants to prosper you. I believe God wants to bless you. But the emphasis pushed towards the material things of life that God wants to give you rather than the righteousness of Christ and the spiritual wealth that God has given us. And was very, very interesting. I did studies on it because I just was not to combat it, but to get my understanding, because I want a sound doctrine, and I don't want to go to the extreme say God wants you to be poor. I don't want to go to the extreme say God wants you to be rich. However, God wants you to be rich. Come on, somebody, rich in righteousness, amen, and many other ways. But so, one of their main texts of the prosperity movement, and you'll know this if you've been around from the 80s, is the third epistle of John. Was one of their main texts that they would use. And what we call this is segmented biblical doctrine. They'll take one scripture and build a whole doctrine on it. And so 3 John verse 2 says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And that's a text that they use that to believe, you know, you can believe this, you can believe that. And don't get me wrong, there's a balance, there's an understanding. But what threw me off, and I think threw a lot of unsaved people off, is that these preachers became so wealthy where they have jets and planes and mansions. And some people are blessed. Don't get me wrong, man. People, God blesses some people. But what happens for the unsaved, it kind of looked at these people like they're just robbing the church. And I'm not coming against all, but there are some preachers and pastors out there that they just believe that, you know, one pastor just recently got arrested, was on the Facebook all over the place. This guy was robbing a church. FBI came in, took his church, and it was just horrible what he was doing, how he was convincing his people, rebuking them. And you remember recently, was it about a couple of months ago? I forget who it was. He was taking, oh, I know what it was. He preached at our church. He's taking up the offering. He said, lock the doors. No one's leaving. Anybody remember that? And boy, that went crazy. Anyhow, let me bring this home to you. Let me just focus on what God shared with me to share with you. Remember this promise of God that he promises you righteous eternal life. 3 John, verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things in health, just as your soul prosper. That word, prosper, in its origin means righteousness. And what did Jesus say? How many here know the scripture confirms scripture? Jesus said what? Seek first the kingdom of God. Some people skip the next word. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all things be added on. Time out. We missed something. Did anybody see what we missed? What does it say in Matthew 6:33? But seek first the kingdom of God and all, come on somebody, all his righteousness. And all, so the word, but check this out. When you really dig into this word in the Greek in the original, and I went back into the word prosperity in the Hebrew, when you really, not only it means righteousness, you know what it means? It means righteous equity. It means that you, listen, when Christ comes in you, you have equity. You have righteous equity. You are a person of value, a woman of richness, a man of value. You have equity. What does that mean? You have value inside of you. When your house has equity, that means there's worth. Maybe you owe $100,000, but it's worth $500,000. I'm not going to say how much we're worth in an earthly sense, but in God's sense, we are worth millions and zillions of value. And I want to tell you what God is speaking to us about the promise of God. He wants to give us eternal life, but what he really wants us to do is give some equity out to the world. Come on, that's why God's blessed you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the fast that I've chosen. Remember? Remember, I said, this is the fast. Isaiah said, this is the fast I've chosen, to feed the poor, house the lonely. Because where they were fasting for other things. Let me not get caught in there. But someone say righteousness. Jehovah Tiskanu, righteousness. Let me give you the second promise. I'm not sure if we're going to get all through seven, because we might hang on to a couple of these and we'll continue maybe next Sunday. But listen, the second promise of God for us today, is number two, God will always be faithful to you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. God is there. God is with you. God is with you. 2 Timothy, I love it. Chapter 2, verse 13 says this. If we are faithless, he still remains faithful because he can't deny himself. Amen. We serve a faithful God. God is always faithful to you. Hallelujah. God said this. Now, where I'm bringing this, let me bring this home about the faithfulness of God, wrapping it up in the righteous equity of God. Because I'm so grateful that we're able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the unsaved world. That we're able to preach the gospel and minister, you know, the wonderful work of God and pass on that equity. But there's no greater joy, and I really, really believe in heaven, there's no greater joy than passing on your righteous equity to your family. Am I right? Amen? He's faithful. He's so faithful. And God's able to come through. I wanted to turn the faithfulness of God and the promises of the faithfulness of God inward to you and your household. Because, of course, he's going to come through in your business. You can cover that. Your dream, your destiny, don't get me wrong. There's so much that God wants to, that God's faithful. He always comes through. Hallelujah. Amen. He just always comes through. Somehow, he's able to make all things beautiful in his time. Somehow, God's able to literally just work all things together for the good, for those who love the Lord. He's just able to do that. But I want to talk to you about your family, about passing on that righteous equity and to us. And I want to let you know, you still may have unsaved family, sons and daughters that are not saved, or the seeds are planted, or they're wandering away. I want to let you know that you keep believing, you keep praying. God is faithful. Come on, somebody, and he'll always come through. When I first got saved, the influence really was my mother, Bobby, and Diane. Especially my mother in the beginning stages of her life, and Bobby and Diane. And what did they have? They had equity. Amen. I didn't understand equity, but what I did understand is that they're not doing drugs. They're born again, and therefore they're not using their money to go get drugs so they might have money. So one time when I needed $200, I called Diane. You might have heard this. I'll tell you the full story one day. And I was homeless, messing up. And I was like, hey, Diane, can I borrow $200? Like, I got to pay the rent. You know, she kind of knew the deal. And for years, you got to come over to Pastor Joe. You got to come to Sheep Gate. You got to come to Sheep Gate. And so finally, she said, okay. And I was like, yes. And then she goes, but you have to meet me at church tonight. It happened to be, I think, a Friday night. Was it a Friday night they had over there? Friday night, prayer night. And I remember coming in. I said, Diane, what time does it start? 7 o'clock. What time does it end? 9. Because, you know, I just don't want to be late. I came at 9 o'clock. Come on. Amen. Well, this was heavy duty back in the day, man, when their movement was going on, because I have found out on that day that during a Pentecostal service, the action happens at the end of the night. Amen. And I came in at the altar call. And I was waving at Diane in the back, and she was one of them prayer ladies that put the blankets over as Joe Sedgwick was throwing them on the floor and all that. I mean, that's what I was thinking, you know. And she waved me up. Long story short, somehow after they prayed for me and rebuking demons and I'm wrestling, I earned my $200, and I booked with $200. But let me just explain where I'm getting at. What I needless is silver and gold have I not, Peter said. But what I have, I give unto you. And Diane, although she used the $200, she needed that. What I really was leaving with and didn't realize it, she was shoving righteous equity in my heart, in my pockets. And then that day came. Come on, somebody, where God broke me and I received the righteousness of Christ. Come on, somebody. And I proclaimed as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Give them a big shout. So I think of the promises of God. You know, remember promises of God. You know, Joshua said, you know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember what Paul said to the prison guard. He said to him, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. And he said, well, what must I do to be saved? Believe. This is the promise. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Come on, it doesn't end there. Help me. You shall be saved and your household. Come on, somebody, let's believe that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We've seen it in our family and more to more to come. I mean, we've seen the crazy brothers. One of my brothers was Johnny, and he was crazy. I mean, he was. We were all nuts. And I'll never forget the day that he called me that he needed help, and he said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I'm thinking, he's not ready for Teen Challenge. I'm like, I'm going to send him to a secular program. That's how whacked out he was. And then God shook me and said, get him in. And Johnny gets born again. Huey and Russell, and they on and on and on and on. Come on, somebody, God's able. The Holy Spirit spoke to me so heavy this morning and last night to bring that home to you. Let me give you the third promises, because we're going to believe in that, amen? We're going to believe in our household and the promise that God's faithful. God's faithful. God's faithful, amen? Hallelujah. God's faithful. The third promise for us today is this: God will continue the work He started in your life. Hallelujah. I love this. It says it's Jehovah Makea, and listen to this incredible this incredible name of God. It means the Lord who molds me. The Lord who molds me. Hallelujah. And all of you can relate to this. And when we think the word mold, we think the word hold, don't we? Because God gets a hold of you and He begins to mold you. Amen? I had so many memories flooding my mind, you know, just as I'm pausing and thinking of the thousands and the hundreds of people that have seen God mold. But what's so awesome, it says in our promise of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, which you know so much, but there's a word that means guarantee again. And it's a synonym to guarantee. You know it. It's Philippians 1:6. It's being confident. Someone say confident. Be confident. There's a guarantee that he who's begun a good work will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm thinking, listen, he ain't finished with me yet. Can you tell your neighbor, he ain't finished with us yet? He's not. You know what's so awesome about Jehovah Makea? He says he's able to bless our mess. How many know we can be messy people? Amen? You know, evangelists are awesome because they go fishing, they catch the fish. It's the pastors that got to clean them. How many here know cleaning fish is messy? You know what I'm talking about, right? Amen. And so God promises to bless your mess. And God transforms, think about this, in our lives, a deadly curse into a divine blessing. A deadly curse into a divine blessing. What a promise from God. Deuteronomy 23, 5. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to the Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Woo! Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? I shared Romans 8, 28. He works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord, doesn't he? Amen? He makes all things beautiful in his time. He really does. He really does. Yeah, I don't care what problem you got. You got to understand, God can take a problem and turn it into a praise. All your problems. Amen? Problems are like washing machines. They twist, they spin, and knock us around. But in the end, we come out cleaner, brighter, and better than before. Come on, stay in God's washing machine. Hallelujah. I love this. Listen, God formed us. Sin deformed us, but Jesus transforms us. Give him a big amen. Amen. You know, think about this. Because, you know, it doesn't really matter. Think about this. Who you used to be. What matters is who you've become today in Christ Jesus. Amen. Today we become a better person, a better you, a more righteous person. How many here know we fail, we mess up? Amen? How many know you married couples in the house, you're going to go home, you're going to spill the milk, get yelled at, amen? Or take the milk out, leave the cap on the counter, put the milk in without the cap. How many does that? You know what I'm saying, amen? However, it's so awesome that what we take is so seriously crazy, God probably laughs and he uses it for his glory. Amen? So what are the promises here today? And the promise is that God will mold you. Amen? God will mold you. You remember Jeremiah and the potter. Amen? What a great story. You know what it says in Jeremiah? It tells a story and it shares about that he made a vessel, but it was marred. But he made it again. Come on. He made a vessel, but it was marred. But he made it again. Come on, someone say he can make it again. And here's the beautiful thing. I love 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, for we are what? A new creation in Christ. Come on, somebody. All things have passed away. Behold, yell it. All things become new. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. God formed us, sin deformed us, but Jesus transformed us. Let me give you the fourth promise real quick. Promise number four, that your steps are ordered by God. Woo! Look at this, Jehovah Rohi. Listen, you know what Jehovah Rohi is? He's the shepherd. He's our shepherd. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's our shepherd. And I've shared this before, and I think it was a young boy who was going to quote Psalms 23. And I obviously it might have been a Christian school, and as he's getting up, he gets up and he begins to think about and ready to quote. He studied all this. It's his mom and dad, everybody's in the house, and all of a sudden he gets up, he goes blank, and then he just says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all that matters." And he ran off. Amen. He got a standing ovation. Why? Because he nailed it. The Lord is our shepherd. Oh, come on, somebody. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. I love what David wrote, too. Let me just say this. In Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Let me pause for a moment and throw Proverbs in here where it says, watch this. Remember, I always mix this in. It says it's the righteous man or the good man's steps are ordered by God. Am I right? You agree? But check this out. Scripture, here comes Scripture again. And Scripture says in Proverbs, Solomon wrote this, if a man's steps are ordained by God, how then can he know the way? Did you get that? It seems like a contradiction. It doesn't. What it's saying that your steps are ordered by God. God knows the way. Sometimes we don't know the way. But you know what David wrote? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Watch what it says. "He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Sometimes you don't know what door. Sometimes you don't know what tomorrow might be. But I want to tell you, Jehovah Rapha, our great shepherd, he's going to direct your path and he'll get you through. Come on, that's the shepherd. That's the good shepherd. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fifth, God will provide all your needs. Oh, come on, somebody, amen. God will provide all your needs. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jehovah Jireh, you know that. You're familiar with Jehovah Jireh. We sing it. We have songs about Jehovah Jireh. We praise him and thank God for Jehovah Jireh. You know the deal, and here's what I love about this story. Because the story goes on, where we got Jehovah Jireh from, one of the first encounters, is in Genesis 22. It's with Abraham. And don't miss this. You know, because I want to bring it home to you, because God's navigating something in your life. And how many of you have a need? You have an immediate need. You know, we kind of all do. Somewhere there's something in the heart, whether it's your family saved, your direction, or you know, the journey you're in. And so I can't get in the fullness of the story, but you understand that Abraham had Isaac and Sarah, and Isaac became an idol in Abraham's life, father of old age, 100 years old, and so forth. And God had to bring Isaac and Abraham to Mount Moriah, place of sacrifice. God had to bring Abraham to a place where he had to let Isaac go. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes you got to let things go. Sometimes we've got to let things go. We really do. In fact, even with Pastor Eugene and Pastor Diane, in our first meeting, our first prayer meeting several years ago, we were planning this. We were planning coming. But then we felt God. And as in our next meeting, that it just wasn't time, and we let it go. I remember what you said, though, Pastor. You said for possibly another time. I didn't really get that. And I remember walking away and from the office and just trusting God, though. You know, we didn't get upset. If you remember our text, we were just so honored you even considered us to do that. But we let it go. And then God brought it back. Why? There were some things God had to probably work out here as well as he had to work out in here. Are you with me? And so Abraham had to release Isaac. But here, don't miss this. They're going up the mountain. And Isaac said, "Here's the wood, here's the fire, Dad." He said, but where's the lamb? And so what did Abraham said, "Son, God will provide." That's where we get Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Can you imagine that? And the weeping and so forth. And here's what I want to share with you that's so beautiful about this message. You know the story. They get up. He puts, makes the fire, wood. He puts Isaac on and raises the knife, right? Raises the knife to kill and sacrifice his son. And the angel of the Lord came in and said, "Stop." Hallelujah. Because why? Because Abraham gave it away. Abraham let it go. Then all of a sudden, the Bible says that there was suddenly in the thicket a ram caught in the thicket to make the sacrifice. Come on, Jehovah Jireh. I don't know if you missed it. What did Isaac say? What did Isaac say? Where's the lamb? What did God provide? A ram. Come on, somebody. You see, when you let it go, come on, God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond. Hallelujah. God's able. That's who Jehovah Jireh. So whatever you're battling in it, whatever you're praying for, business, this, that, know this. Maybe there's a picture. What was the picture? Oh, the picture of a cartoon. At least I think you sent it to me. There's Jesus kneeling down, And there's a little girl with a little teddy bear, and he's asking for the teddy bear, and she's having a hard time letting it go. But behind Jesus, there's this huge teddy bear. Come on! Are you hearing me? That's just like us. Let the teddy bear go! God's got a grizzly for you. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me give you the seven. Let me just jump down because we focused on Jehovah Gamola. Let me bring it home here. Worship team, you could come. Amen. As the worship team comes, we got to the seventh promise. And here it is. Listen to this. And you all know this. Such a beautiful, beautiful description and name of God. God will restore what the devil stole from you. Come on, somebody give him a big shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We put in Jehovah Rapha with this as well. I kind of put two. You got two blessings out of seven. Amen. Because he restored what the devil stole from you. Hallelujah. And I know all of you here today probably have experienced it some way or another. But I know there's a few of you here today that you need to hear this. You know, what maybe the devil stole from you. And don't get me wrong. Understand this. Sometimes we open the door for the devil. We allow him to rob it. We don't mean it. We open the door. But still, robs from you. Jesus said it so clearly. The thief has only come. Someone say only come. To kill, steal, and destroy. Only come. That's a J-O-B, 365, 24 hours a day. And it's all, but I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. And you know, there's times the devil does want to steal, you know, your health, your prosperity, you know, your destiny, your calling. I've seen it. I'm dealing even with it today, that somebody I've worked for 30 years reestablished himself, and he just opened the door, and the devil's just robbing him. On the phone yesterday, and I want to tell you here today, we serve Jehovah Nisi. We serve Jehovah Nisi. He's the banner of victory. Amen? Stand with me today. I want to pray and bring this home to you. All over the country, all over the world, I'll share, you know, about a powerful scripture that I love. And I share it often, and it's found in 1 John 5:4. And you know it, and if not, I've refreshed your memory. He who's born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. Can someone say victory? This is the victory that's overcome the world. Our faith. I started about, we have to have faith and walk in faith, not by sight, to embrace and believe and receive these promises. Amen? And he who is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory of our faith. That victory means Nike. Can someone say Nike? Amen? And I've shared this wherever I go, Crusades, India, Poland, and, you know, Portugal, wherever, you know, Ukraine. I get everybody before the Crusades start, and I have them quote 1 John 5:4. And then I let them know, I shout victory, and they might say it in their language. And then I tell them it's a Nike, and everybody knows Nike. Amen? And I said, listen, the origin of the word victory is Nike. That means victory. And I say, guess what? Nike stole our logo. Come on, somebody. Made a whole lot of money out of it, especially Mr. Jordan. Amen? But we're here to proclaim victory over your family. We're here to proclaim victory over your health. Victory over your job. Victory over your marriage. Victory over your family. Come on. Victory over your dream. Victory over your destiny. Victory over your household. Victory over your car. Victory over your mind, your heart, your sin. Guess what? This is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. We have faith in the promises of God that say yes and amen. Come on, give them a big shout. You're here today and you want to proclaim victory over something in your life, family, car, business, your child, whatever it is. I want you to get out of your seat, come up here, and let's pray together and proclaim the promises of God. Yes and amen, that are for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God placed this word for us. God is faithful. Our word to you is not yes and amen. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me and Sylvania and to me. It was not yes and no, but it was in him yes. Jesus Christ speaking to us. He is the word. Then it says, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. Listen, through us. It's so awesome. It's through us. It's not, you know, for something else. So it's through, it's odd. It's through us. Hallelujah. And then it says, now he who established us with Christ, he's anointed us in God. Listen to this. It like confirms, this confirms verse 20, that the promises of God are yes and amen through us. He says, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Come on. The title, subtitle of this message, God's promises are guaranteed. God's promises are guaranteed. Hallelujah. And here's the cool thing. The guarantee doesn't expire. Oh, come on, somebody. Let's pray together. I believe there's some of you here need to give your heart to Jesus, get saved. What do you mean, Pastor? In other words, just turn it over. Get Christ in you. Just give it up. Give it up. It's simple. I know it's deep, but it's simple. Just say, Lord, I just surrender my life to you. Here I am. And let's just pray that prayer first. Jesus, say this for the Jesus. I surrender my life. I surrender my soul, my mind, my heart, my spirit to you. Jesus, come in my life. Wash me with your blood that I might be the righteousness in Christ Jesus. And on this day, I proclaim the promises of God for me, my household, my destiny, my body, my mind, everything that I live with. I trust you, God, that you're faithful and your promises are guaranteed. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him a big shout. Hallelujah. Father God, we pray in Jesus' name for everyone in the house that you would anoint, touch, fill us with your love. baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Let us never forget. God, let the faith and let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, remind us the promises of God are yes and amen. All the promises of God that God has for us are yes and amen as we walk in righteousness, in repentance, and faithfulness. We can claim them in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. If you need prayer, stay. We'll pray with you and and ask God to touch you. Glory to God. Let the Lord have His work. Let the Lord have His work. Lord, do a work in your life. Hallelujah.